matinong usapan para sa maunlad na bayan, Luzon, Visayas at Mindanao, buong mundo kasali ka. Dito rinig boses ng masa, magkakaiba ngunit isa, ate, kuya at mga pe, bata, matanda, kasali ka. Halika na at makinig sa DZUP 1602. Tayo na at makinig sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka. Dito harapin ang sama-sama mga isyu ng ating lipunan.
Ayang bukas kang tinding-ding, tinigatindig na bayan. Lakas ng sama-samang paghakbang, ikaw at ako, kasali tayo.
Halika na at makinig sa DZUP 1602.
Ang saya at sigla sa DZUP 1602. Simula ng umaga sa boses ng estudyante. Mga programang likha ng mga estudyante para sa mga estudyante. Pagsapit ng alas 11, tara! Tugtugan na sa talatugtugan kung saan ihahatid sa inyo ang magandang musika at masayang kwentuhan. Tuwing alas 12 ng tanghali, nakahanda na mga programa sa At Your Service para kayo'y paglingkuran at sumagot sa inyong mga katanungan. Sa alauna ng hapon naman, makinig, makiisa at makialam sa samut-saring ideya at adhikain ng mga programang may magagandang layunin sa advocacy. Alamin ang mga maiinit na balitang pinantayan ng DZUP News Team sa DZUP News Headlines tuwing alas 2 ng hapon. Pagsapit ng alas 2:15, sumali na sa balitaan, balitaktakan at kwentuhan sa May Punto Ka Dyan. Pumasok na sa back-to-back na eskwelahan sa radyo, kung saan bida ang iba't ibang kolehiyo ng pambansang pamantasan, ang Radio School. Tatlong oras na, alas 4 hanggang alas 7 ng gabi. At tawagin na ang buong tropa pagsapit ng alas 7 dahil tropang radyo na, kung saan nabubuo sa radyo ang tropahan. Sobrang saya at sigla mula Lunes hanggang Biyernes. Kaya tara na sa matinong usapan para sa maunlad na bayan. Dahil sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
DZUP Balita. Mga balitang tinutukan ng DZUP 1602 sa oras na ito.
Magandang hapon, narito na ang balita sa oras na ito. Handa nang ipasa ni Regional Director Muzib Hataman at ng iba pang leader ng Reformed Autonomous Region of Muslim Mindanao o ARMM sa Bangsamoro Transition Commission o TRANSCOM ang pamumuno sa rehiyon sa taong 2015. Ito ay kaugnay ng ilang dekada ng sinasabing di maayos na pamumuno at pagpapabaya sa mahigit 2 milyong Moro constituent. Binubuo ng 8 kinatawan mula sa Moro Islamic Liberation Front o MILF at 7 naman mula sa pamahalaan ang TRANSCOM na titiyak sa pagbuo ng bagong Bangsamoro political entity ayon na rin sa GPH-MILF peace deal. Ayon kay Hataman, gusto nilang mapatunayang hindi palpak na eksperimento ang reformed ARMM na ngayon nga ay papalitan na ng Bangsamoro. Ako po si Albert San Diego para sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka, manatiling nakatutok sa May Punto Ka Dyan.
DZUP Balita. Mga balitang tinutukan ng DZUP 1602 sa oras na ito.
Maging sa puntuhan. Tinig mo'y iparinig, punto mo'y ipabatid. May punto ka dyan. Kasali ka. Pagkat may punto ka dyan.
Nagbabalik po, may punto ka dyan. Dito lamang sa DZUP 1602. Welcome sa ating ikalawang oras ng ating puntuhan. Mga kapunto, oras po natin, eksaktong 6 minutes after ng alas 3 ng hapon. Ito po ang ating programang may punto ka dyan. Ito yung kapuntong si Edgy Uyanguren. As promised, ipaparinig po natin sa inyo ang ilang bahagi po ng naganap na forum dito po sa UP Diliman sa School of Economics kahapon, kung saan po ay nasaksihan ng ating dalawang kapuntong sina Iris at sina Iza. Ito nga pong post-SONA assessment ng ilang mga eksperto ng universidad mula po sa mass media, mula po sa political science, sa public administration and governance, at syempre po mula po sa economics. No? Ito po sa lenses na ito ay tatalakayin natin. Ito pong ating naganap na State of the Nation Address ni Pangulong Aquino noong July 22, nitong nakaraang Lunes lamang, na umabot po ng 1 hour and 42 minutes. Alright, nako. Ito pong naganap na forum kahapon ay ginawa sa School of Economics. At yun nga po ay maliban sa mga estudyante at maliban po sa atin pong mga staff, naroon rin po ang ating mga professors, no, na nagsalita tungkol dito sa kanilang pananaw kung paano nga ba nangyari yung SONA, ano yung mga punto na dapat tandaan sa nakalipas na SONA. Ito po, unahin natin yung naganap na post-SONA assessment. At syempre, ito ay may pupunto doon sa role ng media dito po sa State of the Nation Address. Ito po, unahin natin ang punto po ni Attorney Victor Avesilia. Ito pong professor natin sa College of Mass Communication. Ano nga ba talaga ang papel ng media? Bakit nga ba natin kinocover ito? At bakit natin iniere ito pong talumpati ni Pangulong Aquino sa tuwing siya po ay nagde-deliver ng kanyang State of the Nation Address? At ibang mga pangulo, ha, for that matter, hindi lamang kay Pangulong Aquino, kundi sa nakalipas rin ng mga administrasyon. Ito, pakinggan po natin ang pahayag ni Professor Chito Avesilia mula po sa College of Mass Communication.
Punto pa! Mga punto mula sa pamayanan, mga mananaliksik, eksperto, komunidad, at people's organizations. Dito lang sa Punto Pa!
What then is the use of media coverage of the SONA to begin with? Well, first, we need to be present. The only reason why government performs its task is because a free media industry is there to fiscalize government. After elections, government often forgets that it's supposed to serve the public interest. That's where the free media come in. Press freedom is the guarantee of the Constitution to see to it that the media will fiscalize government. Do not expect media to kowtow to the government. Do not expect media to say government is good. It is the duty of the media to be pessimistic towards the government. That is the role of media. If you're going to say the media is pessimistic, it is only doing its job. That is the nature of the press. It is always critical. A press must be adversarial to the government. Heaven help us all when the press kowtows to the government and praises government. It is always good news to see that the press is critical of the government, to read and hear that the press criticizes the government for even the slightest detail, because that is what they were created for. When the first amendment to the U.S. Constitution was drafted, from which we lift our constitutional provision on press freedom, it was envisioned that when the press is highly critical of the government, remember, the American press led to the resignation of President Nixon in the Watergate scandal. When the press is that critical, the press is doing the very duty, or performing the very duty it was envisioned by the founding fathers to do. So that is the role of the press, which brings us to our third point now, ownership of media. We know that the moguls, the families, the oligarchs own the media industry. We did not mention names, they were mentioned already. From a point of view of economics, who can afford to operate a radio and television facility? Yung prangkisa pa lamang sa Kongreso, katakot-takot ang lagayan na dyan. You cannot operate broadcast media unless you have a legislative franchise. Guess who gives the legislative franchise? Both houses of Congress. It has to be a Republic Act. Imagine all the influence, peddling, and money you have to give just to get that legislative franchise. And that doesn't just come simply on the price of money. There are favors asked. Sasabihin sa'yo, baka naman babatikusin nyo kami pag rinin nyo na namin ng frontita mo. And then of course, there are vested interests. Why should established family with a lot of vested interests and businesses in the country want to mess around with the very agency that can take away that privileged status simply by legislation? They will not. Now, here's where market forces come in. Even assuming that all of the media are all owned by oligarchs with vested business interests all over, still, the people will demand, we want a media that is, a media industry that's totally independent. Now, put yourself in the place of commercial media. If you are seen by the people as lackeys of the government, nobody will watch television, at least for purposes of information. Entertainment, maybe that's conceded. Nobody will watch the television news. Nobody will read the newspapers. And that's going to be a sad state of affairs for media. What will happen? They will not be able to raise advertising revenue when nobody patronizes them. And they say now, but who has the longer rope? We have the longer rope. Because sooner or later, you will still need to watch television, you'll still need to listen to radio, and you'll still need to read the periodicals. Now comes in online media.
Alright, yan po ang tinig ni Professor Chito Avesilia ng College of Mass Communication. Tinatalakay nga po niya kahapon no, yung usapin po ng role ng media dito nga po sa naganap na State of the Nation Address. Malinaw po yun ha, ang pagiging critical ng media, no, ang pagiging, sabi nga niya, quote-unquote, pessimistic ng media. Eh, hindi man po pwedeng good news ang lahat ng sabihin kasi ito po itong kulin niya na maging watchdog dito po sa iba't ibang ahensya ng pamahalan. Magtaka kayo kung panay positibo na lang ang ibinabalita. Nako, eto makaka-relate ng mabuti itong ating isa sa mga panauhin natin ngayong hapon na critical din for about ilang taon na ba itong College Editors Guild of the Philippines? 82 years. Nako, eto po kasama po natin ang ating panauhin mula sa CEGP or College Editors Guild of the Philippines para po pag-usapan rin itong usapin po natin ng State of the Nation Address. Nandito po ang Deputy Secretary General na si Mark Lino Abila ng CEGP. Magandang hapon, Mark.
Magandang hapon po, sir.
Ayan. Kasama rin po natin sa hanay ng mga estudyante at mga mag-aaral ng economics, ang School of Economics, UP Economics Towards Consciousness, sina Christina, Felipe at Ralph Manginsay. Magandang hapon sa inyo.
Magandang hapon din po.
Magandang hapon po sa lahat ng nakikinig.
Ayan. Unahin ko muna ang ating kapuntong si Mark. Ito, may talagang malinaw na kasaysayan ang CEGP, no? Okay. Na talagang pagiging critical to the point na lahat po ng issue, whether estudyante at ito'y pambansang issue, ay talagang tinatalakay, no? Ng iba't ibang mga artikulo at yung mga member student publications ninyo ay talagang kilala bilang matalas, no, doon sa mga usaping ganito. Mark, ikwento mo naman sa amin ano yung inyong naging punto dito sa nakalipas na State of the Nation Address ni Pangulong Aquino.
Ayun po, doon sa nakaraang State of the Nation Address ni Pangulong Noynoy Aquino noong Lunes, talagang hindi kiniklaim niya po kasi na ang zona daw niya ay zona ng mamamayang Pilipino. Mm-hmm. Pero sa katotohanan po, yung zona po niya ay doon lang para, yung zona lang po nung mga negosyante at nung mga kaalyado niya sa politika. Mm-hmm. At hindi po talaga yun yung zona ng mamamayang Pilipino. Dahil po, sa katotohanan, yung sinasabing pagtaas ng ekonomiya, ang nakakaramdam lang naman po niyan ay yung mga negosyante, yung mga malalaking negosyante, at yung mga may-ari ng mga malalaking lupain sa Pilipinas. At hindi siya nararamdaman doon sa grassroots level ng doon sa mga mamamayan mismo. Mm-hmm. Dahil patuloy pa rin yung yung mababang pasahod sa ating mga manggagawa, yung hindi tunay na reforma sa lupa, at syempre yung patuloy po na demolisyon doon sa mga urban poor communities, hindi lang po sa urban poor communities, pati yung mga demolisyon po na nagaganap sa mga probinsya.
Nako Mark, kanina nga nakausap natin ang Alyansa Kontra Demolisyon sa unang oras natin. Nako yung ibang kababayan natin sa West Avenue, diyan sa West Camyas, ano? Eh nako, nasa kalsada na raw sa ngayon dahil nga sa demolisyon ng kanilang komunidad sa ngayon. At heto pa, walang permit at walang court order ang naganap na demolisyon. So ito yung mga ano ba? Ano, bakit ganun yun? Yung mas delikado kung nasa kalsada yung ating mga residente, di ba? Eh gusto niyo tanggalin sa sinasabing danger zone. Eh mas dangerous naman yata kung nasa kalsada yung ating mga residente. Pagsalitain rin po natin ang ating mga estudyante sa UPETC, Christina and Ralph. Very quick lang, what comes to mind right after nung narinig ninyo at nakita ang sona ni Pangulong Aquino last Monday? Unahin ko muna, girls first, ladies first. Christina.
Okay, so in an economic perspective, it was a bit too optimistic and masyadong optimistic yung projections niya dun sa past, sa previous economic growth. Tapos po kahapon sa SONA analysis headed by ang speaker po namin ay si Benjamin Jokno. Sabi niya yung inaangkin po na economic growth ni Pinoy ay actually produkto ng nakaraang administration under Gloria. So yung first quarter po ata yon. So hindi niyo pwedeng i-claim na sa administration lang yan.
Nakom. We'll hear Professor Jokno in a while, no, para maintindihan natin yung sinasabi ni Christina dito. Ralph, very quickly, ano ang iyong paano mo nakikita at paano ipapaliwanag yung narinig at nakita mo no nakaraang Lunes?
Actually po, sobrang maganda yung mga sinasabi niya about the economy, how the economy improved, how the economy grow. However, hindi kasi iba kasi yung ano, yung economic growth sa economic development.
That's right.
Yung economic development ay yung economic growth, yun yung mga figures, statistics na kung saan yung marginal na increase ng government ng output ng bansa, ng productivity ng bawat tao. However, hindi kasi wala akong narinig sa buong SONA kung paano na-trickle down itong economic growth na ito.
Parang sinalakan niya yung inclusive growth in his along the way, di ba?
Isa siguro sa mga plano niya. Pero hindi kasi niya, ako kasi po, nagre-rely po kasi sa data. Kinakailangan ko na, para saan kinakailangan
ebidensya.
Ko ng ebidensya. Mahirap po kasing mag-rely sa ano, na haka-haka. Tapos, itong economic growth, sana in the next 3 years ng sa hanggang sa huling termino niya, sana po ay mapagtuunan niya ng pansin kung paano mag-trickle down itong growth.
Mararamdaman ng ordinaryong mamamayan, di ba? Itong sinasabing economic growth, which was 7.8% for that matter, di ba? Tama ba dito, Mark?
Opo.
Ito po, pakinggan natin no, yung bahagi po ng naging pahayag ni Professor Benjamin Jokno. Hinggil nga po sa usapin ng ekonomiya. Ito po ang SONA naman, no? Ito post-analysis ito ng ating post-SONA analysis ng ating professor mula po sa UP School of Economics. Pakinggan po natin.
Punto pa! Mga punto mula sa pamayanan, mga mananaliksik, eksperto, komunidad at people's organizations. Dito lang sa Punto Pa!
The Philippines remains to be the poorest among the regional ASEAN 5 economies. Why are we interested in ASEAN 5? Because they are our direct competitors. But by 2015, there will be one integrated ASEAN, Association of Southeast Asian Countries. So if you are a businessman, you locate in any of the ASEAN countries, you get the benefit of the whole region. So we're competing with Indonesia, we're competing with Malaysia, Philippines, Thailand. Kalimutan natin Singapore. Hindi natin kaya yun. Okay? In fact, in the new ASEAN 5, Singapore was replaced by Vietnam. But look at the gross national income per capita. In dollars, Philippines, 2,470. We're the poorest. Singapore is the richest, of course, 47,000. Indonesia has actually surpassed us.
The Philippines ranks the highest in poverty incidence. This is the proportion of the population who are poor. In the Philippines, about one-third, or to be exact, 27.9% of the population are considered poor. What is the record for Indonesia? 12, Thailand 8, Malaysia 3.8, Singapore, they stopped collecting because nobody's poor in Singapore. So that's where we are. The poverty conditions in 2012 appear to be unchanged from 2006 and 2009. So for the last 9 years, according to the National Statistical Coordination Board, there was no change. But that's only in terms of percentage. But in terms of warm bodies, meaning if you count the people who are poor, poverty has actually worsened. There are 463,000 more poor people now than in 2009. And if you compare that with 2006, there were 1.3 million Filipinos who are poorer compared to 2006. Why is that? Because remember, 2009 was the height of the world economic crisis. 2009 was a bad year. So if you combine the two, actually there are 2 million more poor people compared to the 2006 numbers. Now, among the original ASEAN 5, the Philippines has the worst unemployment record. This is the real state of the nation. While unemployment rates were falling in its ASEAN 5 neighbors, it was rising in the Philippines. 2010, 7.3, and the latest number, 7.5%. Singapore, from 3.1 to 1.9. Thailand, from 1 to, that's almost full employment, 0.7 unemployment rate. Now, the economy grew by 7.8 in Q1, but joblessness continued to worsen. Isn't there a contradiction here somewhere? The economy was growing at its fastest, 7.8. Yet unemployment worsened. In Q2, unemployment rose to 7.5 from 6.9 the year before. Now, the quality of public infrastructure, this is also the state of the nation. Among the new ASEAN 5 economies, now I'm showing Vietnam instead of Singapore, the Philippines has the second poorest quality of overall infrastructure. This is ranked from the best to the worst. So number 98 means we're the 98th country out of 144 countries. Okay? And the worst, or second to the worst, Vietnam is the worst, 119. Quality of roads, we're second to the worst. Quality of port, the worst. Quality of airport, the worst. And quality of electricity supply, second from the bottom. Serious, we have been underspending in public infrastructure.
Alright, yan po ang tinig ni Professor Benjamin Jokno mula po sa UP School of Economics. Naku, mukhang hindi yata ito rosy picture compared to what we heard during the State of the Nation address. Ito pong kung ang basis of comparison ha, sa ASEAN neighbors natin, mukhang tayo po ay talagang huling-huli. At in terms of unemployment, in terms of our infrastructure, mukhang doon yata tayo dihadong-dihado. Mark, would you like to comment on this? Itong ating economic performance as compared to what has been reported last Monday?
Ay po, napakaganda naman po nung, nung mga data, yung statistics na ibinigay ni Professor Jokno from the School of Economics. No? Ito yung napakita na po ito, ito po yung ebidensya, yung numbers, yung figures na nangyayari talaga sa Pilipinas. Unlike doon sa sinasabi ni Pangulong Aquino na umuunlad daw ang ating ekonomiya. Pero in return, ganito yung nararanasan ng mamamayang Pilipino. Yung patuloy na pagtaas ng kuryente, ng mga bilihin, ng langis, ng
MRT,
singil
LRT,
sa tubig.
Magtataas ng singil.
Opo. Yung patuloy pa rin po, yung patuloy rin na pagtaas ng tuition and other fees, yung mga pagtaas ng bayarin sa mga eskwelahan. At syempre po, yung patuloy pa rin, no, dun sa dream po to dun sa public-private partnership na isinusulong nung pamahalaan.
Nako. Eto, alamin rin natin mula sa ating mga estudyante ng economics, Christina and Ralph, what can you say about the point raised by Professor Diokno in terms of unemployment, in terms of our performance, no, sa ating mga ASEAN neighbors? Unahin ko muna rin si this time it's Ralph.
Yun po, nakakalungkot kasi kahit tawag dito, nag-i-increase yung we're experiencing growth. However, hindi mas lumala yung unemployment conditions natin.
Mm-hmm.
Tapos kahit yung infrastructures natin sobrang matagal na, tapos siguro nabubulok na. Tapos ayun, sana in the next 3 years pagtuunan siya ng pansin, kasi investment to eh.
Mm-hmm.
Infrastructure investment can also imply economic growth, economic development, and also project more employment.
Mm-hmm. Ayun, yung nga, parang ironic eh, yung data na kapag na, meron kang 7.8% na sinasabing gross domestic product, eh sana mag-translate ito dun sa trabaho. But then, the data will show us na, naku, tumaas po yung unemployment, and we're not only focusing on unemployment, we're also talking about underemployment. No? Yung may mga trabaho, pero hindi sapat yung kinikita, kaya nag-a-apply pa ng iba pang trabaho. Napakarami po nating may mga dalawang trabaho, para nga ay talagang mai-provide sa pamilya, no, yung pangangailangan. And of course, yung ating mga overseas Filipino workers, no, yung ating quote-unquote bagong mga bayani na sinasabi, eh malaking ambag po sa ating ekonomiya. Kung wala siguro sila, ano kaya ang ating GDP o itong ating GNP? Naku, ano kaya nangyayari? Ito, tanungin ko rin si Christine, quick reaction dun, Christina, dun sa sinabi po ni Professor Joke, no?
Okay, I would like to speak about the MRT and LRT increasing fares. Kasi po, the thing is, yung binabayaran lang sa LRT ay 15 pesos. Hmm. Pero ang totoong cost niya ng one ride, one actual ride, is 40 pesos. Hmm. So that subsidy, yung sinasubsidize ng government, it poses a political risk. Kasi, di ba PPP po yung MRT and LRT? Hmm. So, kapag 15 lang yung binabayad ng mamamayan for one ride, tas 40 pa lang actual cost, sino magbabayad ng difference? It's the government.
Hmm.
So, I do think na tama lang po na taasan ng ang fares. Kasi po, it will not only help other people, it's actually also an example of equity. Kasi paano naman yung mga, tama siya, paano naman yung mga never pang nakakasakay ng LRT, bakit nila babayaran yung pasahe ng mga nandito sa Maynila? So, siguro po, another perspective on the SONA.
Naku, sana may MRT, LRT sa buong Pilipinas, ano? Para makasakay tayo lahat. Pero yun nga, ang point lang din kasi doon, sa isang banda, no? When I talk to different public utility sectors, no? Sinasabi nga, parang hindi napapanahon eh, no? At this very critical times na talagang lahat nagtataasan. Presyo ng edukasyon, presyo ng langis, kuryente, tubig. Dagdagan pa ng panibago na namang pagtaas, no? At walang nangyayaring dagdag sa sahod, no? Across the board, walang nagaganap na significant increase. So parang hindi yata congruent, no? If I'm talking about congruency dito, parang 'di ba kung tataas 'yon, dapat tumaas rin, no? Para ma-meet man lang, no, yung basic necessity ng mamamayan. But it does not happen. I don't know why. Ito po, pag-usapan natin yan, iba pang punto. Ekonomiya sa larangan po ng pamamahala, sa larangan po ng political science. Ito pong ating talakayan right after the break. Oras po natin, it's 29 minutes after 3 in the afternoon. Magbabalik po ang May Punto Ka Diyan.
Get ready to experience a new kind of high. Punta na sa Hysteria, ang kick-off party na gaganapin sa The Sky Deck, 5th floor Barrington Place ngayong August 2 mula alas 8 ng gabi hanggang alas 12 ng madaling araw. Mag-rock and roll kasama ang mga amateur bands sa Acoustic Jam Engineering. Panoorin naman ang aspiring models na rumampa sa fashion show. Non-stop entertainment at free-flowing drinks ang naghihintay sa inyo. Para sa tickets, takbo na sa UP Engineering Society Tambayan. Ang event na ito ay hatid sa inyo ng UP Engineering Society sa pakikipagtulungan ng DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Maging sino ka man, kasali ka sa puntuhan,
may punto ka dyan.
We are back dito po sa May Punto Ka Dyan sa DZUP 1602. Inyong lingkod, Kapuntong Edgy Uyang. Kung rin oras natin, 31 minutes after 3 in the afternoon. Kasama pa rin po natin ang ating mga panauhin mula po sa UP Economics Towards Consciousness, ang ating mga guests na Christina Felipe at Ralph Manginsay. At syempre po mula naman sa CEGP or College Editors Guild of the Philippines. By the way, nagsa-celebrate ng kanilang 82nd year. Nako, tagal na. Ito po ay kasama po natin ang kanilang Deputy Secretary General na si Mark Abila. Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Okay, ito po, kanina napakinggan natin yung first part ng talumpati, or hindi naman talumpati, ano? Yung kanya pong analysis dun sa post-SONA ni Pangulong Aquino. We had two speakers a while ago na narinig po natin. Ito'y mula po sa forum na naganap kahapon sa UP School of Economics. Napakinggan natin si Professor Chito Avesilia at yung kaya Professor Benjamin Jokno. Ito po, may pangalawang bahagi pa tayo dun sa larangan ng ekonomiya. Ano nga ba talaga ang totoong issue? Paano nga ba talaga matututukan, no, ito pong mga sinasabing issues at syempre challenges sa larangan po ng ekonomiya? Pakinggan po natin ang second part ng naging pahayag po ni Professor Benjamin Jokno.
Punto pa! Mga punto mula sa pamayanan, mga mananaliksik, eksperto, komunidad at people's organizations. Dito lang sa Punto Pa!
Now, so the real issue is decisiveness, policy consistency, and policy credibility. Decisions have to be made on major policy issues, not sequentially, but simultaneously. That's why you have a cabinet. So you should be able to do 20 major projects or 20 major programs at the same time. The ongoing power crisis in Mindanao is crying for a concrete plan of action. We need roughly 600 megawatts of new power every year in order to grow at 6-7% for the next 10 years. And this need won't be met overnight. You require a lead time of about 4-7 years. On airport infrastructure, President Aquino has to decide whether he wants two major international airports, Laguna or Clark, or just one. Now, the message is clear. We have to ramp up public infrastructure spending. We need to build airports and seaports, highways, urban transit, power plants, water systems, and so on. So,
all right, yan po muli ang tinig ni Professor Ben Jokno dito po sa usapin po ng mga priorities, no, sa larangan po ng ekonomiya. Nais kong tanungin ang ating mga panauhin ngayong hapon. Alahin ko muna si Mark. Ito po, binanggit niya kanina, kailangan ng hindi pwedeng yung scattered, no, na parang ano lang na ito, unahin natin ito. Kailangan may policy, may direction. Would you think na kaya itong gawin for the next 3 years? Kasi until 2016 pa si Pangulong Aquino.
Kung meron pong tamang priority yung ating pamahalaan yung sa ilalim ni Aquino, no, ay matutugan na naman. Pero sa nakikita po natin ngayon na kalagayan na hindi niya talaga priority yung kapakanan ng mamamayan, ay malabo ho. At syempre, yung sinasabi nga po ni Professor Jokno kanina, no, na yung pagtotoo ng pansin dun sa ating infrastruktura. Dahil yung infrastruktura po, ito po yung magdadrive ng economic development.
That's
hindi lang
right
po sa, lalong-lalo na po dun sa mga rural areas natin. Na doon po nanggagaling yung ating mga agricultural products.
Mm-hmm. At ito ay dapat gawin, no, simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Hindi po pwedeng isang lugar lang ito pwedeng mag-thrive. Eh, yung ibang lugar naman, kumusta? So, kailangan talaga malinaw yung direksyon at consistent. At merong tinatawag na political will na gawin ang mga ito. Ralph, would you like to comment? At would you like to say something about this priority issues, no, sa ekonomiya?
Para po sa akin, maganda din po yung naging mga infrastruktura na in-undertake ni Pangulong Aquino.
Hmm.
Especially po, nanggaling po kasi ako from Mindanao pa.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that, I really felt na nag-i-improve yung mga infrastructure projects sa lugar namin, especially na malapit din kami sa Lagindingan Airport, which was kakatapos lang na at saka kakabukas lang ng Lagindingan Airport. However, I think it's a stepping stone to a greater heights pa, to greater heights. Kasi kung para sa tingin ko, pinaprioritize niya yung mga infrastructure projects not based only in the Metro Manila. However, we can also I think that the government also has the responsibility and to tap to other areas, especially rural areas, and also ilapit yung infrastructure na to para sa mga rural farmers, for example, gumawa ng isang market, merkado, para mas mapabilis yung transaction, and at the same time para may maani sila pa sa kagaya ng pera, and at the same time may mga may access to sila sa more government services na usually dati hindi nila na-access, kagaya ng healthcare, proper healthcare, education, ganun.
Ayan. Ito nga, infrastructure projects or programs that would really address, no, yung mga pangailangan binanggit mo kanina, yung mga sektor ng mga magsasaka, yung ating mga manggagawa, no. Ito yung magsilbi dapat para kumbaga ay domino effect ito rin. Kung meron kang gaitong infrastructure projects, eh kumbaga magsunod-sunod-sunod yung sinasabing development, no. Ito yung maglilika ng trabaho, maglilika ng livelihood sa ating mga kababayan. We'd like also to hear from Christina, ano ang iyong pananaw doon sa binanggit ni Prof. Diok, no?
Ang mantra po kasi ng Philippine Development Plan ni Pinoy ay economic growth that is strong, sustainable, and inclusive. So when you say strong and sustainable, you mean if you want an economic growth of 7.8%, you want it for 10 years, yung po yung span, or at least 3 years, dapat sunod-sunod, and you have to maintain it. When you say inclusive, it has to trickle down to the masses. Everyone has to feel it. So when we talk about public infrastructure, Pinoy should do it nationwide and simultaneously. Hindi pwedeng mag-focus lang siya sa EDSA, sa Manila.
Precisely.
Pero dapat dun, mag-focus din siya dun sa mga areas, sa mga remote areas natin, kung saan nandun yung majority ng mga mahihirap. And when we say growth, we do not just refer to economic growth. We should also remind ourselves that human development is also very important.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, education and health are very underfunded. So I think he should focus more on those aspects.
Ayan, ang ating 2.26 trillion budget. Nako, kumustahin natin. Eh nako, ito nga pinag-usapan like last week, no, yung PIDAF, yung pork barrel. Nako, ang dami, laki-laki ng pork allocation, like 27 billion pesos intact pa rin, ha. Eh nga, maraming tanong dun, eh why don't we rechannel these funds dun talaga sa sinasabi nga ni Christina kanina, yung ating edukasyon, yung ating kalusugan. Eh nako, kaysa naman na magkaroon pa ng duda na ito'y napupunta sa bulsa ng iba, hindi po ba? Anyway, nako, usapin naman po yun sa larangan nyo ng ekonomiya, usapin naman tayo ng governance ngayon. Ito po, sa ating naganap na forum kahapon, eh mapapakinggan po natin yung naging assessment po ng ating dekano mula po sa National College of Public Administration and Governance, o NCPAG. At ito'y bahagi rin po siya ng movement for good governance, or MGG. Ito po, pakinggan natin ang naging pahayag ni Professor Edna Co.
Punto pa! Mga punto mula sa pamayanan, mga mananaliksik, eksperto, komunidad, at people's organizations. Dito lang sa Punto Pa!
I think for 2013, the State of the Nation address by President Aquino primarily and on the whole is a proclamation, and I would say a mighty proclamation, of the achievements of the administration in the past year. And I would describe it to be something like a banner achievement. That was what he did in last Monday's State of the Nation address. Of course, he dwelt, by being a banner and a mighty proclamation of his achievements, he was highlighting the positive accomplishments that his administration did. And among this, in very long and great detail, if you will look at the SONA, he highlighted, for example, the conditional cash transfer and how he was responding to the poor. He highlighted the housing for soldiers, the police, and the police and typhoon victims. He also highlighted the vocational training done by TESDA, reducing classroom shortage and prices of textbooks, expanding health insurance, and key infrastructure projects completion. I think you will agree with me when I say that parang medyo OA na yung highlighting ng accomplishments because it was done overdrawn with too many statistics. I think in the past year that could have been good, but he was dwelling more on the nuts and bolts rather than the bigger picture. So I will agree with Professor Diokno when he says, but where is the forest? We've been dealing with the trees. Pero asan yung forest? I think the speech of the president focused on the glowing performance of the administration in the past year. To me, this is something positive because he wanted to show that these are the achievements. But then, the positive achievements do not seem too good enough to be able to meet and respond to the continuing challenges of poverty and poverty reduction. So yun yung nakakalungkot. What is the question at hand, despite the rosy accomplishments put out by the president? Second point, on the challenges. Many of the challenges of the current administration have been left unsaid. In other words, hindi na-declare very clearly that despite the achievements in the past year, how are we going to sustain the gains of the past year? What shall we do by way of the broader strokes of the direction of the administration? Obviously, there is admission that while there were efforts to crack the nut in the corruption front, the corruption remains to be a particular difficult challenge, an uphill battle of the current administration. His efforts have been appreciated by many people in terms of fighting corruption, which is good, but the downside is, how could we ever have a permanent solution to corruption? And unfortunately or sadly, one of the tools by which we could provide a permanent solution is to pass the Freedom of Information Bill, which has not been mentioned at all and which has failed in the previous 15th Congress. That, to me, is a shortcoming and a continuing challenge. To put it positively, it's a challenge for the administration. There are also structural defects, and I think this is the field of governance. May structural defects which have to be addressed. And these structural defects are the reason that corruption persists and why there is a breeding, a continued breeding of corruption. If we do not address the structural defects from where corruption originates, then it will be difficult to see a permanent solution to addressing corruption. Nagtatanggal lang ng ilang tao, nagpapile ng cases, which is fine and good, but we have not looked at the structural defects. We have not looked at the institutions and the structures and why and the mechanisms that really breed and explain why there is persistence of corruption. There are questions also with regard to the impunity of a number of cases, including impunity of human rights violators. For example, the Maguindanao massacre, which occurred in 2009, after ilang years na, apat na, no, had remained to be unresolved. So this is an example of human rights violations still being faced with impunity in terms of the resolution. The overall growth and productivity have not been largely addressed in a more sustained way, and therefore there are questions with regard to growth and productivity of the agricultural sector, particularly of manufacturing, which is, of course, left out. Also, the balance between rural and urban development, and, of course, addressing the educational reform in the long term. We also continue to face the transport and urban crisis. There are efforts to address the transport and urban crisis at the national level through the efforts of the Department of Transportation and Communication. But all of this seem to remain at the level of the plan. And this had never translated into accomplished or realized projects on transport and communication. Some of the transport and urban crises have been dealt with being relegated to the local government units. As we see now, kanyang solution ng City of Manila yung traffic within Metro within Manila. And then, of course, MMDA is trying to deal with the transport and urban crisis. But napaka-spotty, no, nung resolution. So we have not looked at the bigger picture in terms of addressing transport and urban crisis. Of course, transport has become a major element of the urban crisis, apart from housing and informal sectors' proliferation in the urban areas. And lastly, the climate change adaptation. By and large, therefore, the bigger picture on how to address the asset reform, when I say asset reform, this refers to the holistic and more comprehensive reform that should be done in the aspect of agriculture, the land distribution, marine and aquatic resources, and so on. Anything at all that will have the rural population and the poor have access to it. And therefore, what we have heard and seen in the last SONA are achievements on the incremental, what we call the incremental achievements, yung maliliit, mga maliliit na accomplishments, but the address has not given to us after 3 years and in the midterm of the Daang Matuwid, where do we bring the next 3 years, the next 3 years until 2016 into? And I would have, I expect to hear something like providing a little bit of a bigger roadmap into where we bring all these little accomplishments and fit them to say, these are the gaps, however, and the gaps will have to be filled in this way.
Punto pa! Mga punto mula sa pamayanan, mga mananaliksik, eksperto, komunidad, at people's organizations. Dito lang sa Punto pa!
Yan po naging pahayag ni Professor Edna Co ng UPNC PAG, ang ating kapitbahay na kolehiyo. Magandang hapon po sa ating mga kasamahan dyan sa UPNC PAG. Alright, quick reaction sa ating mga panauhin. Unahin ko muna si Christina. Ano ang inyong pananaw doon sa governance issues, anti-corruption measures of this current administration, Christina?
The Movement for Good Governance released its annual analysis on the government, and this movement is headed by Professor Solita Monsod. Binigyan po nila ng 10 over 10 si Aquino dito po sa good governance. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons the movement cited was yung success nung pagsisink ng ARMM elections sa national elections. Mm-hmm. Because of that, walang na-call na failure of elections. And aside from that, you look at yung platform niya, 9 out of 12 senators na in-endorse niya won seats in the Senate. So, yeah, I think...
Would you like to agree with that analysis 10? And that score or rating?
Ang 10 po kasi, ang ibig sabihin niya ay napatupad lahat ng pangako sa tinakdang oras. Mm-hmm. And of course, hindi naman lahat ng pangako niya ay natupad. Yung mga napangako niya na natupad nga, hindi naman natupad sa inaasahan ng mga mamamayan. So maybe not a 10. Mm-hmm. And meron siyang mga successes, but there are still failures that still threaten the national economy.
Mm-hmm. Nako. Ito naman, tanungin ko rin si Ralph. Your take on that statement, Ralph, na incremental, not really bringing us a roadmap, or kumbaga parang direction, 3 years from now, ano nang mangyayari? So ano na? O ba, SONA? So ano na?
So, ayun po. Agree po ako dun sa sinabi ni Prof. Edna ko. Ang nangyari is, hindi po siya nagbigay ng ano nga ba yung magiging direksyon ng ano pang magiging roadmap, kumbaga, ng good governance, especially kung napapatupad ba ito ng maayos. Kagaya ng sinabi ni Christina, kung meron nga mga failures na nagaganap pa rin, although hindi naman talaga maiiwasan. Mm-hmm. Since may na din talaga yung political will, especially sa mga local government units. Mm-hmm. However, it's not really a 10 because 10 is parang that's perfection already. Mm-hmm. And there's no room for improvement. Mm-hmm. I think for me, there is still really a room for improvement, and that should the government should provide a roadmap. Dapat ito ay certain, ito dapat ay... kumbaga may qualifications kung ano talaga tong roadmap na to, hindi lang basta we campaign for good governance. However, what kind of steps are we going to take para ma-address itong issue na to?
Mm-hmm. All right, ito naman tanungin ko rin mula sa CGP Mark. May binanggit rin ano usapin ng impunity no, yung kumbaga making people who are responsible for ito pong mga krimen, for example yung binigay na example kanina, yung Maguindanao massacre, after apat na taon na wala pa ring nangyayari. Ano ang pananaw dito ng CEJP, Mark?
I want to point out na 3 points po. No? Hmm. First yung sa CCT, FOI, and then sa human rights po, including sa Maguindanao massacre. So yun doon po sa CCT, yung sa conditional cash transfer, it's a dole out po kasi, di ba, ng government sa mga mahihirap. No? Ang condition ay kailangan nilang ipadala yung kanilang mga anak sa paaralan. Tinitingnan po ito ng CEJP na hindi po tama, dahil hindi po kailangan ng dole out ng mamamayan, kundi trabaho at hanap buhay ng livelihood. Yun po yung kailangan nila. So, karamihan po kasi ng beneficiaries ay nasa probinsya, which are agricultural areas. Yun nga po, hindi pa rin pinagtutuunan ng pansin yung pagdadevelop sa ating backward na agriculture. Hanggang ngayon ay kalabaw pa rin yung ginagamit wherein sa ibang bansa ay demakina na, no? Mabilis na yung pagtatanim. Tapos, yung kawalan talaga ng livelihood ng government sa para sa mga mahihirap. Second po is yung sa FOI. Kasi nung
bago ang FOI, eto muna, may interesting point, no? Inilabas po ito Manila Times sa noong July 23. There's this article that quoted, no, ito pong comprehensive assessment raw ng World Bank. Hinggil nga dito sa usapin ng itong conditional cash transfer, no? And I quote that article. Sinasabi po dito, ayon po sa ulat or comprehensive assessment ng World Bank on the Philippines Conditional Cash Transfer Program Impact Evaluation on 2012, binabanggit po dito ng findings nito suggest that the program has not had a significant impact on increasing enrollment among older children mula po 12 years old to 17 years old. However, the program was unable to even improve enrollment of children 12 to 14 years of age who are currently covered under Pantawid Pamilya. Mula po ito mismo sa ulat po ng World Bank. So parang yun, malaking usapin po yan na if you're giving fund or we're giving billions of money funding for this program, dapat aralin no? Kasi scientific tayo, dapat ito bang mga programang ito, na-address ba niya ito kasi ito yung condition. If not, there might be a need, no, to re-channel or to really re-evaluate the program on ano ba talaga yung gusto niyang gawin. But anyway, magandang puntuhan po yan sa isang mas mahabang talakayan, ano? Kasi nga, ito may mga usapin po ito ng mga report. Going back to your next point, Mark.
Ayun po, sa FOI naman po, last 2010 campaign po kasi nung tumatakbo pa si Pangulong Aquino, ipinangako niya sa mamamayan na ipapasa niya yung FOI.
Freedom of Information.
Pero 3 years na, pero wala pa rin ipapasa. Wherein last, yung last year po, yung nagkaroon ng Malacanang version yung FOI na nagsiset na restrictions sa public kung ano lang yung tinutukoy ng pamahalaan na public documents. So parang hindi siya freedom of information. May itatago pa rin at itatago pa rin yung pamahalaan ng mga dokumento na hindi makikita ng mga mamamayan.
Para mas malinaw lang, no, para sa mga estudyante rin at sa karanasan ng CEJP, are there issues sa ganito sa school level na may information kayo hindi makuha dahil restricted yung information? May mga ganyan bang actual cases kayo naranasan?
Opo, sa, for example, sa Lyceum po, they haven't issued any parang statements of nung financial statement ng schools. For example po, sa pagtataas ng tuition fee increase, saan po ba talaga napupunta yung mga itinaas ng tuition ng Lyceum of the Philippines University?
And they should be made available?
Opo, dapat available po, po siya, hindi lamang po sa aming campus press, sa aming publication, yung the LPU Independent Sentinel, but also sa mga ordinaryong estudyante at sa kanilang mga magulang. So, nakikita rin po natin na kahit sa campus level ay hindi pa rin transparent yung ating mga school administrations. Tapos, nakikita pa rin po natin na pati po sa gobyerno, parang andami pa rin talaga nilang itinatago sa mamamayan ng mga transactions, mga kontrata na, kasi pera ng mamamayan yan, kailangan alam ng mamamayan kung saan napupunta yung kanilang binibigay sa pamahalaan na buwis. Ayun po. Tapos yun nga po, isinusulong naman po ngayon ng mga grupo, no, like yung grupo po na binuo ng Center for Media Freedom and Responsibility na magkaroon ng isang People's FOI. Na ito talaga yung FOI na gusto ng mga mamamayang Pilipino, na transparency sa lahat ng documents ng pamahalaan. maliban lang sa mga documents na which concerning national security.
At alam na po natin na malaki po ang papel natin sa FOI na yan. Na hindi po ito simpleng para nandyan lang tulad ng RH law. Eh, hindi naman po naging madali yung naging malaking hamon po yun. Eh, tayo po ay may malaki pong papel dyan. No? Dito sa pagbubukas ng 16th Congress last Monday, nakita po natin ito po ay nagtrabaho na itong ating mga kongresista at mga senador. You have a point at the human rights issue?
Ayun po. Sa human rights naman po, still, marami pa rin tayong biktima ng harassment, political killings, meron tayong 430 political prisoners and more than 100 of these political prisoners were arrested during Aquino's time.
Mm-hmm.
So, nakakalungkot isipin na ang tatay ng ating dating ang ating pangulo sa kasalukuyan na si Ninoy Aquino ay isang political prisoner, pero sa kanyang panunungkulan ay patuloy na dumarami ang ating mga political prisoners. So nakilala ko po yung iba sa kanila, yung mga nakalaya na katulad po ni Erickson Acosta from UP Diliman po, from Philippine Collegian, na talagang yung nangyayari po sa ating mga progressive na mga manunulat and other groups na hinuhuli sila, no, at pinapadala sa malalayang lugar. For example po, nito lang nakaraan, no, mag-asawa po, no, si JP Versosa, also from UP Fine Arts po, and his wife po ay inaresto sa Marikina at dinala po sa Katbalogan sa Samar.
Nako, layo ah.
Oo, doon rin po na kulong si Erickson Acosta.
Mm-hmm.
So libo-libo rin po yung biktima ng forced evacuation due to upland bayanihan of this administration, and also yung iba't ibang forms pa po ng human rights violations like rape, specifically yung tatlong rape cases na minors are involved.
Mm-hmm.
And syempre yung mga indiscriminate firing ng military sa mga rural areas and other forms po ng human rights violations na sobrang haba po talaga ng listahan.
Mm-hmm. No? Nako. Anyway, eto po, since wala tayong luxury ng oras na wala tayong 1 hour and 42 minutes to spend para po alamin ang State of the Nation address, iiwan ko yung tanong rin, may announcement muna ako, but I'll ask you this question. If you have one issue that you'd like to focus, if you were, sabihin na natin, kayong magbibigay ng SONA, ano kaya yung issue na yon na gusto niyong pag-usapan, no? Very briefly lang, no? Ito po, bago yan, pag-isip po na yung ating mga panahin. Ito po na, meron tayong inibitahan tayo ng Concerned Artists of the Philippines, no? Kasabay po ng kanilang 30th anniversary. Ito pong isang imbitasyon para po sa SONA Check 1212. Ito, mga artista, i-gitara, i-kanta, i-rap, itula ang mga kuro-kuro hinggil sa SONA. Bukas po yan sa darating po na alas 8 ng gabi sa Crystal Ship Bar dito po sa Quezon City. Kayo po ay inimbitahan, yung mga artista, mga manunulat, mga mga nagdo-drawing dyan at mga nag-sketch, kayo po yung imbitado lahat dito sa Concerned Artists of the Philippines. At yun po, ay marami pa pong mga post-SONA assessment na magaganap, kaya huwag kayong mag-alala, ito po i-airin natin dito sa ating programa. Alright, unahin ko muna si Ralph this time. One issue and why? O, pang Miss Universe lang dating. No?
Oh.
Go ahead, Ralph.
Ayun po, yung issue po sa lack po ng subsidy at saka lack ng infrastructure projects for educational development.
Bakit?
Kasi po, education attainment is for me, the very best tool para for higher productivity, higher output, at the same time, para i-encourage po yung iba na pwede silang makahon sa hirap.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the rural areas, that education is not that is not a luxury, it should be a public good. The government has the responsibility to provide that, na we'd like to tap into the abilities ng every citizen, na by education, they can achieve that.
Maraming salamat sa iyo, Ralph. At si Christina, anong issue at bakit?
Human development in terms of giving jobs and livelihood to the underemployed and unemployed.
Mm-hmm. Bakit?
Kasi po, I want to make this suggestion to Pinoy. Why don't we send our college and high school graduates who do not have jobs right now to the provinces? Let us
make them, let us give them the employment experience na hinahanap ng mga firms. Why don't we let them make teams, sumali sila dun sa mga green and engineering brigades. Tapos after 1 year, say 1 year, iba naman na batch ng mga jobless na graduates. Para lang lahat may experience, lahat may pupunta sa resume nila at lahat sila may trabaho and experience.
Alright, maraming salamat sa iyo, Christina Felipe. Mula po sila sa UP Economics Towards Consciousness. Mula naman sa CEGP, College Editors Guild of the Philippines, ano ang gusto mong sabihin, Mark? Or kumbaga, ikaw yung magbibigay ng SONA. Ano yung SONA na yon at bakit?
Ayun po, kung ako po magbibigay ng SONA, ang focus po ay, syempre po, on human rights. Kasi, sakop na po nito lahat eh. Education, employment, and others po na karapatan ng mamamayan. Hindi lang ng mamamayan Pilipino, kundi lahat ng mamamayan sa daigdig.
Alright, nako, maraming salamat sa iyo, Mark. And you have a celebration ng 82nd anniversary ng CEGP. Go ahead, please.
Ayun po, iniimbitahan po kayo ng College Editors Guild of the Philippines sa Cultural Night Busal Kultura ng Panunupil sa Conspiracy Bar mamayang 5 to 9 PM.
Alright, libre ba ito o may tickets
ito? Opo, libre po. Magpe-perform po si Danny Fabella, Carl Ramirez, Plagpool, and Balakid.
Ayan, abangan po natin mamayang gabi yan, Conspiracy Bar, alas 8 ng gabi para po sa CEGP. Maraming salamat at nais ko rin batiin ha, ang ating mga guilders na kuminsan naging guilder din dun po sa malayong lugar ng Davao City. Alright, ako. Maraming salamat sa ating mga guests. Nako, nandito na. Galit na galit na nakapula at nakaitim yung mga taga-syensya na kayo. Huwag po kayong maglilipat ng istasyon dahil digital na po ang pagta-time check natin dito. Ganap ng 3 minutes after 4 in the afternoon. Magbabalik po ang ating susunod na programa, ang syensya na kayo. Maraming salamat sa ating mga guests. Ito po si Edgy. Nagsasabi ng happy weekend sa inyong lahat at maayong hapon, magandang hapon sa iyo, Mark Sarto. Ito po, susunod na ang siyensya na kayo.
Maging sino ka man, kasali ka sa puntuhan, kinig mo'y parinig, punto mo'y pabatid. May punto ka dyan, punto ka dyan. Pagkat may punto ka dyan.